for the 5D Collective, we have some amazing times. Anyone who is new, a 5D person is a person who is at the very least aware of their emotional spectrum in a way of having a window of welcome. Or even if there is a window of tolerance, it is not one where you justify the emotional triggers. So the adaptive child behavior, the projection of unfinished business. So you know how to be aware of your own adaptive child and to tend to it. And so not to project your nervous system's needs on another, but to instead talk about it. And obviously that doesn't mean you don't have a reaction. No, it means you're aware of those adaptive child patterns. Okay, so 5D Collective is aware of enlightenment, the human way. They are aware of our mammalian heritage, our birthright to be a restorative embodied self and your open-hearted three-year-old self. Doesn't mean you're there yet, but you are very much in the I'm not going to be an ego-sensitive 4D person or 3D. I'm going to be a person who is going to take that journey of personal development. And the personal development can also integrate a therapist, of course. So those of you who are, again, aware of the aspects of our human nature, that's why the 5D is having a different way of harnessing everything that comes with all of these new ascension energies. And they're not new. We've been having ascension energies for a long time already, but they're not taking them and saying there are energy vampires, dark auras, and so on and so forth. The 4D collective and 3D, on the other hand, are not interested in emotional building regulation skills, in emotional heavy lifting. They are not keen on personal development in a way of let me tend to what comes up. They project it. In fact, what I've noticed is a spirituality bypass, and so the codependency type person, martyrs or superiors, spirituality again, bypassers, and the blamers. So the shame cycle is what you will notice they will be actively participating in, but their behavior is something they don't look at, like a Cusco not looking at himself. So from the Emperor's New Groove, the 5D Collective are Pachas, and the rest is Cuscos, and this is not a competition. You can't go to somebody and say, hey, I think you need to go to therapy. That's pretty much not your job or nice or, you know, again. So 5D Collective knows that every person's journey, their way back home to their heart, to be their self. We didn't need to do Frozen 2. We got to understand we're humans first, and we do bring with us the spiritual and spirituality stuff, but we're a whole three-year-old heart. So we choose to be our humanity. And that's why it's easy for the person who's a 5D collective individual to say, yeah, I want to learn how to do my emotions like a grown-up. It's fun. Functional adults, conscious lovers, it's fun. 3D, 4D has a different mindset. They have a different approach. And that's where the good therapists are out there. There's a lot of education. So everyone has access to YouTube and online. Well, not everybody, but you understand what I'm saying. So in the meantime, for us, ascension energies allow the human love narrative and your consciousness to expand. We bring more Pachas out into the world for specific guidance on personal development, inner growth, all this great stuff we talk about. You can become a paid subscriber for anything curiosity related. You can just send emails and ask away. We have FAQs. I look forward to hearing from you all. Let's continue with our episode. Welcome, welcome, welcome to my lovely IHP community and the 5D Collective. Today, we chit-chat about no trust breaks, the lovely inner growth mindset group of people. They always think in a way that is unconditionally loving. So when you have the secure attachment, you have a whole self, and you can easily return home to that whole three-year-old heart, okay? Unlike those who do not, so those who do not have secure attachment, they have a different path, but they can get here too with one secure attachment figures, so Pachas around the world supporting Cuscos to become Pachas, and two, the lovely good therapists out there as well, obviously. And so between relationships that are unconsciously loving and those of us who are able to have this lovely inner growth mindset, because otherwise you'd have the inner critic and outer critic, which is actually a shame cycle. So there are people out there, Cuscos, teenagers, what I call them, but let's leave the teenagers alone, and the 4D, 3D collective, and all people who keep score. They keep score when they do anything. So they think that a giving heart has to go through pain, instead of knowing that a heart that gives is one that chooses to give. Now, there's two different ways, and I'm talking about the love freely way, inner growth mindset. So it means that I give you my heart and I share with you my love unconditionally. I don't ask for anything in return, and this is not something that requires any painful experiences. We had an episode on that, and I laughed because anytime somebody is equating that in order for you to have experience, in order for you to basically do anything, you got a bunch of people who think you have to go through some excruciating tragedy, which makes me think of Philbert the Fearful, this book that I have, which he's fearful, and he ends up being able to get knighted in the princess by being a scaredy knight, and I love fear. Fear keeps me safe, so I don't love it, and actually, no, the panic attack's not fun. The pure fear, not fun. But what I mean is I'm okay with my brain protecting me from anything that is not unknown. I know that my body and brain protects me. That's the secure attachment version of a person who has emotional relationships with all of my emotions, and I don't lie about it. Okay, so when I see grown-ups do what they do out there, I'm here to share that human love narrative, one, and inspiring human potential. We don't need it to be that way. So the group over here gets to hear about how it is when we don't have tragedy. The human suffering love people, they get to go hear about how many scars they got to win and stuff like that. Okay, so what I'm trying to get to is that the people who have secure attachment and give from a pure loving heart, we don't have no strings attached. It's just not a competition. We're not like, oh, I've given my heart to all these people. They've all broken it. Okay, so we're going to talk about that one. And I do personal development. You all know this by now, except for those who are new. But I also support with relationships, the 5D type. So functional adult love language, being pachas with Cuscos, you name it. And guidance to support, like giving ideas on how to handle oneself. Because I know sometimes people are out of ideas, but also to explain mechanisms, because you don't want to suppress your emotions. So the part that's important to note is that any form of suppressing your own emotional way of wanting to come up is not a positive thing. When you have an open-hearted three-year-old, raise your hand. I do. I'm always having fun in life. No matter what somebody tells me, I'm like, ooh, there's another person. Oh, look, another one. Look, another one. I literally have no clue if somebody is in an insecure ego, because insecurity as a teenager, I just recognize it. And it's people who are low self-esteem. I don't have anything to do with a person who is afraid of their self. Meaning, I don't need to be a part of that energy, because you're the one who has low self-esteem. I know who I am. I have self-esteem. I have self-worth, healthy. So the energy exchange is not actually something that has to happen, because I'm differentiated. Maria has Maria, and you have you, and there you go. So when people are in their ego self with low self-esteem, I'm not going to notice. I'll notice a Cusco in time, but I won't be the first encounter with you and I. And if you're interacting with me in the manners of a teenager, I will notice it. Yeah, that one gets really clear pretty quick, but I can't know you until you actually begin to play out your pattern with me, because you're going to be a pattern to me, because I'm going to observe you, because I'm listening, I'm paying attention. I want to get to know you. I want to get to know you for real, not pretend. So pachas are in the present, and they're curious, open, accepting, and loving. This is the flexible, adaptive, coherent, energized, and stable brain. This is Daniel Siegel. Thank you. Faces, coal, present, attune, resonance, trust, part. And that is what an integrated brain does. So for me, I give you the inner growth mindset, and now we have an in-depth process to look into your body stuff And that's thanks to all the different attachment trauma courses. My Mystic Enlightenment Soul Age Group stuff, that's just a bonus. I mean, I knew it was beautiful, but I knew it was for something different, meaning for the light workers, so the mystics out there. And we're all light workers, but those who are mystics, they need a 5D person because the 4D is creating a shit show. So boring, so boring. On that note, yes, twin flame, real deal. No, no saga, okay? Just FYI. And if you need specific mystic guidance, become a paid subscriber and ask your questions, email, okay? So I don't do the let me prove that I'm a mystic. You can find all of the episodes, and really, it's not about proof. You'll know it. If you're a mystic, you'll know shit. Like, I know shit. And we're not keys, please. When I've met the 4D, and I am really tired of them, personally, because they disrespect. This is the word that I'm going to use right now. They disrespect what is an honor, what is not a gift from any entity. And I understand. I understand why they use words. I also understand that they're egoically in spiritual bypass and that they have no ears to hear themselves speaking. And then that's why they disrespect. They disrespect something that is actually very beautiful when you take it in the absence of holding people on a string. And that is your oversoul. Okay, so let me move into no trust breaks and inner growth mindset and you giving love. Because you have it in your heart, because it's your own fucking body. It's not a gift to be loving. You don't need to go through pain to be loving. You literally are choosing if you're going to have an open heart when you're interacting with another person. You will know this. You will know choosing to open your heart or close it as an adolescent. That doesn't mean you'll be aware of your own defense mechanisms if you have some unresolved attachment wounds and trauma. But now that it's 2024, there's plenty of great childhood trauma people out there informing people. Okay, so the conversation is based on we don't have trust breaks. The people who give freely, because it's a bullshit statement to say you need to give me back love, because we can actually be consistently in the vibration of enlightenment and in an open-minded brain because it's your higher social engagement system. I didn't do yoga until I met Sadhguru. I made choice points with my thought process, and I made choice points with my inner world. That's the heart. When I met the asshole teenagers, I made a conscious choice. My behind the back was Jesus and God. It still stays, just can't call it God. Consciousness, it's fine, essence of love and life, and my mother, of course, but my mother is the beginning of the journey of my secure attachment and my differentiation of the self. So my ability to love freely. She taught me love does not cost anything. You're beautiful. Even if you were a cockroach, I would love you, because she's Neapolitan. And that's a saying that they have. The cockroaches are beautiful to their mothers. So you know that even if you're an ugly cockroach, you will be loved by someone. And these are very, very important for an infant who's a child who's growing up, because it reassures you that you're always going to have somebody and somewhere to call home, which is going to give you a secure attachment figure. There you go. Okay, so straightforward as it gets, and I did get held with equanimity, which is why Tereel is important. We hold ourselves and partners and romance and all that stuff in the way we were held. But it's also important to note that each of us has a nervous system, so our embodied brain is what's going to engage with the events, the life events that take place. So if your nervous system doesn't consider it overwhelming to feel, you're going to go through life and learn to feel deeper. I know how to feel deeper. Then, no, I believe all people feel deeply, but I don't cry about it, meaning I don't feel it's a tragedy. If I'm crying, if I cry, it's not a tragedy. Something happened to have me cry, and I will usually know what it is, but I'm not going to highlight it as, oh my God, look what they did to me. Oh, you know, so as a teenager, I'm like, okay, people, there's fish in the sea. Anytime the romance category comes up is what I think about, because any of the people that are out there, seriously, they all, with tarot, Akashic, all of it, there's two areas that people always want to know, which is fair and square. It's romance and career. And that's because both equal a secure life. Okay, one is emotional, the romantic one, for those who don't have their 0-1-year-old in the forefront. I do. So I have my own mental and emotional mastery here. Thank goodness. Thank you, mother. And thank goodness, yes, because there's a lot of people, they don't know how to be lovers at all because they don't know how to love themselves. You cannot be a lover if you don't know equanimity and therefore if you don't know integration of the brain. And it's unfortunate to say, a lot of teenagers out there just go online. I see them. So again, as I was saying, romance and careers. This is the one thing the tarot readers consistently are providing guidance on. And it's great that they're there because they reassure people and they help them along what is really excruciatingly painful for them. I mean, we got relationship coaches, some guy always talking about the right one will come the way. And I'm thinking, how many years does it take for you to get on a fucking app? Get specific and then say, hey, therapy, because that's where you're going to go. You get to go and get emotional with each other. Therapists talk about couples going to them, not wanting to be vulnerable. This is why it makes me laugh. Lovers, what lovers? Where? You don't know your oxytocin gene hormone yet. You don't know love until you actually can be your own secure attachment figure, or at the very least understand it. And this is where people, no, it's Romeo and Juliet. Okay, keep on doing human suffering love. Go have fun. And keep on watching those coaches. Sooner or later, you're going to get one of the couples that is going to get to be together and have their hypervigilant, you know, modality and think that's love. Some of us, we don't get fooled. I'm in the enlightenment soul age group, so I'm here. Enlightenment human way. You and I have integration of the brain capacity. And I inspire human potential, not just any potential, infinite higher human consciousness potential experiences. So if you're here for the half-assed, this is not the place to go. The place to go is other people who are Peter Pans with Wendy's. I'm with attachment researchers, therapists, and know how to explain to you. You can get here too, but if you do not have secure attachment, then we want to take a step back. And I have plenty of support that I can give, but I'm just saying that's going to be a whole different route. And in that case, it will be felt that life was painful. Until you get home to yourself and you can actually learn how to regulate your nervous system in the absence of self-soothing mechanisms that are actually not positive for you. Okay, so shame cycle, inner critic, outer critic, drugging, alcoholing, fucking. And that is really the trio that we see people consistently use when they get heartbroken, by the way. I'm 44. I thought I'd meet adults once I got older. That's why I'm not looking for a lover. You need to find adults to find lovers when you're an adult your entire life. Means I know direct communication. So no trust breaks, but Cusco's really boring to see again and again and again. Promise me the moon. Promise me you'll walk. I don't even give a shit. You're promising. Your mouth is moving. I'm smiling the way I got taught. Thank you, my men friends. I'm a sex object, so I'm just going to smile. Listen to you, and then I'm going to wait for you to show your true colors, which is you're not doing anything of what came out of your mouth, which is great, because that way I don't have to deal with you, and you don't have to deal with me, and you can go off and scurry to find your next, what is it, a hit, that's right, the lust, and then find your next person to go and have fun with and flirt with and not do anything with. Or no, some of them, the women who want to distract themselves, they're fully engaged, and then they're going to be like, they promised me a fairy tale, and 3 months down the line, they broke up with me. Nah, they promised you something that you could have known immediately, and it's not going to necessarily be that way, because it's just the beginning of our story. You might change your mind. So see, here's where somebody once told me, you don't know if you'll change your mind. I said, no, I do know, because I know myself. And see, this is the part when you're a pacha, you don't say words without thinking first. You say them and you commit to them. You mean them. So I don't say I love you and I'm going to change my mind. No, I know I won't. And the part about when you have healthy self-worth, and that means you know how to love yourself first, you're not going to expect anyone to be perfect because you're just as imperfect and flawed as all humanity. So the only individuals who don't seem to understand this are the very same people who will not commit. So they it's beautiful to notice when people smoke up your ass. Yeah, again, teenagers. I learned all about teenagers, which is why as I got older, I just have fun when I go out. I have random, independently fun conversations. Anyone who promises me the moon and back, I'm laughing already and we're flirting and having a good time. And then lo and behold, again, you find out, yep, you're another one who's going to bite the dust for sure, and that's how it works, and you're not disappointed. It's not like, oh, you kind of get a little bit, you know, like, wow, are they really all this immature? And again, my men friends say, yes, Maria. So you just learn how, as a woman, to know you're a sex object. One, they only want the hit of whatever that adrenaline rush is. Two, then the attachment trauma experts make it very clear for why it's called they don't want to be vulnerable. They have a trust break. So very bare minimum, you got teenager boys who are men now who have trust breaks. And the same thing goes for girls and women and days. Okay, so the basic secure attachment people, trust breaks. You got to hear how they say, I had all these relationships and they all broke my trust. Oh my gosh, men and women. And now I don't do any of it. Okay, so let's move on from that, shall we? When you're not any of what I just described and you're a common sense person, I was one as a teenager, I got to learn how easy it was to move out of one relationship and process the emotions, know I was processing emotions and the breakup, and then know that I was also going to have more fun than I was with that person. Thank you so much, teenage boyfriend, for breaking up with me. So I had another couple relationships. Thank you to you two as well, because this is the part where I got to then become a free flying bird and my twin flames. Well, they are twin flames. So once you're a mystic, it's pretty much, what's the word? Free fall? No, not that. That's a different word. Because you enter into a sphere of being able to pick up your oversoul. So your twin flames are part of your actual oversoul. It's like having your hands and your fingers. And so it's beautiful because they're always near you. If you want, you can move them away, which I've learned how to do in time, because, you know, they don't like to grow up, some of them. And so when you have a bunch of people from your oversoul who choose not to grow up, what does it mean? So it's not just twin flames, soulmates. Now all people can be your soulmates. So it's people that are part of your actual oversoul, okay? You'll know who they are if you're a 5D mystic, that is. If you're 4D, you have questions. They need to guide you. You don't know anything, and I can support you to understand this, but it's very straightforward, and I won't do that right now because we're talking about no trust breaks, and I want to keep it on the your humanity is alive because you're a grounded person, okay? So you have secure attachment, but I'm integrating a little bit of the mystic stuff because I know some of you are here. Plus, it's part of my journey with my oversoul and with no trust breaks, and so here's why twin flames, it's no saga. Because when they will do whatever it is they do, you know you got a person, which is making conscious choices. Doesn't matter if they have attachment wounds or if they have unresolved trauma, because it's their business, not mine. I'm not here to be their mother. I'm not here to actually be what this is called. So people who don't know how to regulate their own nervous system, that's their job to learn how to do it. I can support them, but they need to be participating in. If they're doing Cusco, they ain't participating, okay? Because Cusco lies all the way to the end, and Pacha lets him lie. Yeah, that doesn't happen with an actual real-life person, meaning a human being who knows how to walk a straight line, how to speak words they mean. That's where the difference is. So there are people, they like to be given the opportunity to consistently be Cuscos, which is great and dandy. Cusco ain't a conscious lover, and they're not breaking trust. It's a pattern. It's a person who has a pattern, and you'll be very clear on it because the pattern doesn't change. That's the part of what is fascinating, mystic or not. It's about you being an integrated brain. So you don't have a trust break because you give me every time I interact with you. You get a data point of me, I get a data point of you. The difference is I'm a consistently evolving, expanding whole self because I love life. Now, every day I'm going to have something fun to do within myself. I'm not necessarily sure with you because you might not have any interest in what I'm doing in my life. But my behavior is not fixed because I'm actually, what's the word? I'm just present. When I'm with you, I'm just being there. I'm listening to you, and we're differentiated and we get to just share. So we're not actually planning in the moment that we get to interact anything. It's amazing when you have these relationships, by the way. So conscious lovers are people that you get to get intimate with. They don't have to be romantic. In this case, I'm saying two people who are in love with who they are and they're sharing their ego selves with each other. So they're conscious, they're expanding, and they're just like enamored with each other's ability to hear the other, because when your state when your sense of self is felt by another human being, you'll know it. So when I welcome your heart, your three-year-old whole heart, you will know it. When I'm welcomed, I will know it. And that means I get to be myself comfortably, and you get to be yourself comfortably. And here's why. It doesn't matter if it's a Cusco who's becoming a Pacha, so it means that they have shit that they're working through. Some people still have shit they're working through. Some of us, we don't. It's because we are consistently, I've been a consistent grown-up my entire life, basically, with my emotions, okay? My emotions have been equanimous. I've learned to process organically. This is, to me, actually something very explainable. Thank you, Mother. And it's because I was lovingly accepted. I didn't have to work for love, and all of my basic childhood emotions were not actually something I got shamed about. I didn't get shamed if I was playing Peter Pan or Superman or Superwoman or whatever. No, I didn't get yelled at for being a child. I got told that I was a child, and if I was getting into any trouble, it was fun. It was not me being terrified. It was not me being asked to be a little soldier and sit down and be quiet and not do anything. I was not shamed in any way, shape, or form for being a quote-unquote spoiled little fucking brat. How does that sound? Okay, so I'm going to use those words because people use these words with kids versus recognizing it's a kid. A kid's going to want to play. You're the adult. Go fuck yourself. Don't have children if you don't know how to play for real. So there's a lot of people, they have their little kids and they literally don't give them a child-centric environment, and then they want them to behave like they're grown-ups. So I see things that, for me, for example, are unacceptable. I'm not a parent, though, so I'm not allowed to talk. And I will say, though, my thought is, if you're bringing your children to environments where they are not going to be able to have fun, you're being a selfish adult in my book, because you're the adult, not the other way around. You can hire a babysitter. You don't need to bring children to places where then you're going to, because see, this is the part where adults don't recognize that we're implicit memory, explicit as well, but we'll, everything you experience, you begin to build, and your body is reacting to it. So it's not about perfection. In my personal opinion, it's about common sense, but that's just me. But again, I'm not a person that is a parent. So what I do know from the parents that I've met is that they, at a certain point, don't like to have to be only around children because they have children conversations. Well, again, I'm thinking you're the adult, so it means you will have, I thought, the part about them being adults doesn't mean that they, I'm going to put that to the side because it's none of my business. I'm just going to say that there's ways, always ways, for you to be able and create an environment and a situation that is ideal. So we would be left with the babysitter when my mother would want to go out. And she would make sure that we would be okay emotionally, mentally, all that stuff. And to tell us if the babysitter scares you or anything, you tell me. In fact, one of our babysitters, she changed. And I do remember the babysitter's face because she scared us with some shit. And it was probably no big deal. I think my mom explained it as I got older. But she changed her because we didn't want her. We were scared to stay with her. And it was because she had used this whatever trick to try and give us medicine or it was to get us to go to bed. I'm going to give you a syringe. I'm going to give you a shot, something like that. And literally, Tina and I, my twin. I'm just saying, when you have a parent, they're going to tell you if they touch you, if they do anything at all, you tell me. Now, I know some people say that children won't, but if you have a parent who doesn't frighten you in any way, so consistency is important, but also the nervous system. This is where if you're getting told this like a directive, so if there's an authoritarian parent, you're not going to feel comfortable because you got a military person in front of you scaring the shit out of you with their nervous system. It's not the words. If you have a parent who's in their ventral vagal, so it means they're compassionately informing you. And these are why attachment trauma information is important, because people don't think and they don't know you're an embodied brain. And these are new pieces of information. So I bring them into our conversation because it's not about the external. There can be two parents doing the same thing. If one parent is in their ventral vagal, that parent is going to be compassionate. And the other parent is in their sympathetic. They're giving off a whole different vibe to that kid. It's not because they want to, it's because they're not aware of their own nervous system. And that's where the attachment component is important, and how a person, if you return home to yourself, and a way of understanding how to be inside of you compassionate is a whole journey. Beautiful for people who want to do it. Other people, they disregard it. And that's because they don't think anything of it. But it's also because these pieces of information are new. So back to no trust breaks, okay? When you have a inner growth mindset, when you have the ability to be a person who loves freely, it's because you were given free love. You were brought into the world with the ability to be a child. And that's where our secure attachment figures, our pachas, are out in the world. Don't have to be mystics. But when you're mystic, you will not actually feel that you are responsible for your oversoul or the entirety of humanity and infinity and beyond, because we pick up on the themes. We pick up on everything. Every time there's an ascension energy, I'm just now used to it, me, Maria, so I don't channel the specific way that the 4D does, because the 5D collective is different than the 4D, and it's because the 5D is awakened to their humanity. So while we do perceive, like right now we are getting closer and closer to the lunar eclipse. Now that's the end of the month, and actually right now there's still energies from, what was it, the full moon. We had the 3-3 portal. I forget if the new moon is going to be yesterday from, or a couple days ago from this recording, whenever it's going to come out, but essentially people have been brought to the heart chakra has gotten to expand again. And for everyone, it's different how this happens, though. Every time there's an ascension energy, whatever shit comes up, quote unquote, is what's going to be processed. Sometimes you don't do anything. It's just the days of the energies are a bit off, and that's it. Because it's simply an energetic shift, release, and it's moving out. And then you will move into next steps of your life and relationships. And it's actually quite nice for the 5D collective, because they're the human love group. The higher toroidal field, the individuals who do the human suffering love narrative, they are in the lower toroidal field. So that's a different way that their body will bring forth. But really what it is their mindset. So they have an inner critic and outer critic mindset. And that's a shame cycle. So they don't move out of being in the humanity is broken. I got trust breaks going on because people are assholes. Okay. So they think that responsibility is on their shoulders. So we have the low self-esteem, indirect communicators, passive-aggressive manipulators who don't know boundaries, and in fact are codependent types, martyrs, superiors, or blamers. Shame, blame, fault, revenge. Those are all trauma safety behaviors of a brain of a person who's a Cusco. And there's ways that this plays out. So I'm just going to say they keep a scorecard, the teenagers, of everything they've done, which is why they say, I got to learn to be a loving, giving person and move into the enlightenment soul age group because I went through pain, 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 pain. And you hear them accentuate it, even the sciences people who say it's only through big challenges, only through that. So I get what they're saying because I know all about attachment trauma, but here's where some of us don't do that. We're not whining about emotions. Thank you, mother, because we learn how it's okay to have emotions. So you're just like, yeah, I'm a 3-year-old. I'm sensitive. What do you want? I'm going to have emotions. I'm not whining. You don't know what it's like to be human, obviously. So you don't feel guilty. I don't feel guilty for being emotional. Me, Maria. When you don't have guilt, you don't have shame. That's why. No shame button here. Nope. So when I've cried, which I have plenty, I'm not like, let me start putting on the wall all the times that I cried deeply. Oh, all of those, let me talk about them and say, that's why I know how to love. No, I know how to love. Thanks. Thank you, Mother and Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God is included in this consciousness. And thank you. Thank you, infinite Akash. And Akash already knows. I get teased all the time. Okay, you're doing a great job. No, I don't get told that. I don't need to be told I'm doing a good job. Again, I'm not a child. This is the whole point I'm trying to make. My 0-1-year-old, my name's Maria. The self of you exists with you. When you are oneness consciousness, you're an integrated fucking brain. You're not getting some golden star for being a human. It's being a human. I don't need an adjective. Anytime I see people using adjectives, I know I got somebody who needs to feel like they did something special. It means you don't recognize your own flaws and imperfections And that means you don't recognize your humanity. Because this is where, thank you again, Mother, you will be both needed as well as not. So there's, I forget what conversation we were having, but it was something along the lines of, you're not indispensable. You do know this, right? You need to make yourself valuable if you're going to be a person who has a job, or it was something about job related. And yes, your best, it's great. Your best can work, but your best might not be good enough. Being able to be presented always, the two equations creating negativity. In this case, my mother always tries to just share, you don't know everything. This is actually wisdom, right? We don't know how life goes. And I'm a planner. So for in her book, anytime, it's because she knows I have a comfort zone, which is planning. And what you will know if you're a person who's wise in your heart, which is you have no shame, is this very balance. And again, it's a balance that equates my caregiver is giving me information that is going to help me to live in a life. So in a life that is full of unknowns, which is where, like the Elvis song, you only hurt the ones you love. When I heard that song, I was like, you know what? It's really true. As a teenager, I was like, wow, it's only the people that love you that hurt you in this way, but it's not the hurt. As a teenager, we're all the black sheep of the family, right? We're all like, oh, my family this, my siblings that, da, 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 da. So it's normal for that age group. It's not something tragic, you at least for those of us who grow up. So what I mean by that is some of us, our whole self moves into the equanimous integrated brain. And so you're not reminiscing about the past. You're not looking at your teenage years as something that you want to go back to or not go back to. And it's because you're a consistent piece of expanding consciousness. And so here's what I'm going to share. When I see people reminiscing, which there's a group of them, it's fascinating because I don't reminisce. I don't miss any of anything because I've experienced them. I'm living fully right now. And I see people highlighting moments of their life. And so that's what living in the past means. Doesn't mean it's a good or bad thing. It's something that people will do. And you'll notice when they're doing it. And then you'll notice how they're actually concerned with aging. So I'm not concerned with aging. I don't want to die physically because I love life. But I'm accepting. I've always accepted. I'm going to get old. I'm going to get different. I mean, I saw my face change by the time I was 40. It's like, okay, now I'm getting old. I am now an old lady, and as I get older in this old lady, I'm an older lady. That's it's nice when I have my younger friends, they're like, you're not an old lady. I'm like, you're so sweet. So I have some of my guy friends, they're in their late 20s, early 30s, and one of them I'm thinking about, he's awesome. He's a sweet, sweet friend. He's family. He's part of my oversoul, see? And here, this person, for example, they don't believe in Reiki. They don't believe in mysticism, meaning they find it woo-woo. In a very specific way, but he still has shared moments, important ones, as I have with him. And one of these was Thanksgiving, where we randomly, by chance, were able to spend it together. And I shared with him some stuff, which was helpful. And he asked me what I thought about the synchronicity, because he knows I am a person who believes in this stuff, because it's a part of my stuff. I said, you're part of my family, don't you know this? You're my oversoul. As I said, this is normal that I got to spend this day with somebody who is my loved one, is a loved one. And this is the funniest story. So this person, I'll share it, because he and his friend, I'll never forget, I'm the one who approached them, because they came into the pub the first time. One of them had a cowboy hat. In fact, they're the two, his other friend, I stay in touch with too. And then they have a group. So I got to meet their friends. And these are all younger ages than I am. Obviously, I'm an old lady. I'm thinking I'm an old lady here. And they let me talk and have fun. So sometimes I try to make sure I'm not imposing. And they always reassure me. But, you know, again, I don't trust when people are like, yeah, it's cool. I'm like, yeah, I don't know about it. I'm going to make sure I try to allow myself to remember that you might just be nice to me, because you don't want to be a rude person, because we all get taught how to be nice. And it's not because I think age has a big difference, but I do believe people not I believe, I've seen people don't know how to just bluntly state to you the truth. So I don't like that one, but I've accepted it. And I try to allow myself to just keep things in mind with society and all that good stuff. Okay. But long story short, the first time these two boys, young men walk into the pub, I spot them because they're making some joke. They didn't have a voice. They didn't have a voice for some concert. And I was with my girlfriend and we just kind of, you know, kid around. We're out at a pub. We're having fun. Then I see them a second time. And it's because the one guy that is my friend, he's a British Italian. I'm an American Italian. So we got to speak in English. And I know of how Brits are assholes to American accents. I didn't believe this. And then I got to meet some British men, grown-up men, and I noticed just how much of assholes they were because of the way they kept coming back at my English. And I'm like, what the fuck? Are you seriously going to keep doing this every time I speak? You know, so I was just kind of like, okay, I didn't think it was that big of a deal, meaning that it was true. Instead, it ended up being true. So my British Italian friend, he had the same attitude. And by the third time that we get to meet up, or fourth, at a certain point, I'm like, you know what, you Brits are real assholes. And I really laid it out. And he's like, no. But so after that, we kind of built a rapport. And he began to try and be more compassionate. It was funny. He didn't want to be offensive. So he took heart to what I shared. And I wasn't trying to be like, oh, you offended me. But I was like, you guys are really mean about this shit. What's up with that? So long story short, this is how friendships are born. And the mystic part, I just know there are people that are part of our oversouls. And it's not something we go and share like that out loud. But my friend, again, he asked because he knows. And I said, you're my family, so it makes sense. And doesn't mean we always talk. No, it's a secure connection. So this is the part of where you don't have a building of relationships with people, where you're keeping score about what each is bringing to the table. When you're a person who loves freely, it's because you're a conscious lover. And if you're a person who's a potchan, this doesn't get harder, it gets easier. And here's where with the whole men thing, I don't agree with stereotypes, but I got my men friends that I believe and trust. And so I, again, know that I can turn to them if I want any type of specific guidance. But the reality is they're not going to be needed since they're not around me all the time. But I get their thoughts so that I can evaluate in my own way things as they come forward. And not creating stereotypes or generalizations. So when you meet men and women that do that, we got the saga people, okay? And that's because they don't choose to move out of the thought processes of the human suffering love narrative that we've had so long, but also because we still do have people who do not embrace and move along their journey to get home to their whole authentic 3-year-old self. And so let's talk again about that, because our oversoul, whether you're a mystic or not, people you meet in your life, that's your opportunity. If you organically move into your equanimous state, that'll be from the moment you're a 16-year-old, because that's the last year, 14, 15, 16, the last child part that is charged, okay? And that is something clear to any of you who have had the ownership of your emotional plane. So that means you are a direct communicator. And if somebody's lied to you, so in my teenage years, I learned everything I needed to learn. As a grown-up, I didn't learn anything different. My twin flames didn't teach me anything different. I didn't get awakened because of them. I was already awakened. Any person is already awakened. You're a spirituality process in the making as the minute you're born. So if you don't have secure attachment, you're going to want to return to secure attachment first, because otherwise your embodied brain is not going to be able to be in a nervous system that knows how to regulate. You won't know what it means to be in your ventral vagal state, because you're not going to have the ability to self-soothe with mechanisms that are healthy for you. What does that mean? It means that you're going to do alcohol, fucking, drugging, and shit like that. And it's not the substances. No, it's the actual one inner critic, outer critic, ruminating, and your biochemistry, and the human suffering love narrative people, and all those crappy movies. And people who don't know about how to get out of their hypervigilant state. So it's a very in-depth journey. And there's plenty of good therapists that help people that want to get out of that. So I'm going to move forward from this equation for a minute and back into what I'm trying to get to, which is when you have secure attachment and you have love for yourself first, you don't participate to drama at all because it's not drama. My boyfriend, when he cheated, not dramatic. He made conscious choices. That's it. And his lies, not dramatic again. Emotions, of course they're there, not dramatic. And so that's the equation. People are like, oh, you're lying. No. Some of us knew as teenagers how to be equanimous. This is all this is. And yes, I say this is all this is because people like to think that you have to go through some dramatic event in order for you to be a person who speaks, highlighting emotions as if this equals something devastating is for the people who have a window of tolerance, which means they need a good therapist so that they can learn how to regulate their own nervous system. Okay, so when you have no trust breaks, as I, growing up, didn't have trust breaks with the teenage boyfriend. I didn't say every human being is going to be a liar. No, I left it there knowing this experience is part of my baggage, as were and have been all of the previous human being men in my life. And none of them have shown me anything different than what I know when it comes to all of the stereotypes about men and all of the human suffering love narrative people. And it's the attachment and trauma researchers that let me know that people don't heal their trust breaks when they stick to generalized thinking. There you go. So no surprise when you meet clowns and buffoons, men, women, theys, because that's what they are to a person who's a pacha handshake. There's no trust breaks when you have the inner growth mindset because you're not sitting around pouting about somebody who showed you, I don't know how to walk a straight line. As a teenager, I saw them all. It's called low self-esteem, indirect communication, passive-aggressive. Yeah, the passive-aggressive, that one gets fun. Yeah, sure, it does. It's like, okay, stand down. As soon as you're able to just say stand down, that's it. The teenager's done because behind a teenager is a three-year-old with a broken heart. It's not confidence. No one's a badass when they're acting like a teenager. That's why they're acting, and that's why they're still a teenager. And that's why the word badass means nothing. When you go out and look into the plane of YouTube and you see all these people who say, with all the pain you went through, that's why you are able to show the way. People will only be able to rely on you if you can say, I've been through it all. And I'm thinking, yeah, okay, that's not for some of us. Some of us know about love. Life is way easier than that. That's because our emotions are not a problemo. And so when you have the secure attachment, body, whole self, you stay a whole three-year-old heart, no shame, no guilt, none of that for emotions. You're not dragging it out. You process your emotions with the inner growth mindset. It's good to go. You're actually creating that resiliency, and that's because you're putting your prefrontal cortex and you're using the left and right mode, integration of the brain. So you're able to think things through. You don't suppress the emotions. You don't pretend that they're not there. You don't highlight them as some type of scar that's going to stay with you forever either. That's ridiculous. It's a moment in time with one human being or another human being or another, whatever it is, it doesn't matter. It's a moment that you will have lived. The emotion comes up. The experience is there. You're going to process it as you keep walking the plane of earth, being busy with other things. It's because you don't shove it back down. The people who shove it back down, it's because they're like, oh, let me go eat Ben and Jerry's. Versus, no, it's I have a feeling. It's here. I welcome you. Good. Hi. I know what happened. Good to go. And you're creating resilience, okay? And as we close on out, when you meet a lovely bunch of people, so in my case, all of my past relationships, my twin flames, you move beyond the concept of the one and you move into polyamory. And I love being able to share. I was already polyamorous without even knowing the word. My open relationship was really great. And I definitely did not know that it was part of a group of people that would be here at one point teasing. By the way, polygamous people, that's not nice. Don't tease people. As polyamory group, we have a lot of asexual and gray asexual, but still, the fact that they, in forums, I've seen them tease, and not in a way that is of grown up. I'm like, okay, really? So I see teenagers all over the place, because if you're a person who's embodying what you are, you don't tease another group of people. Only teenagers tease each other like that. Ew, this is gross. Oh, because for polyamory, you all know the monoamory think you're gross, right? We're whores, remember, women? That's what we are. So they don't even know what they're talking about, but it's okay. We laugh. Yeah, sure. Peace out. I'm going to have fun while the comedians make up their skits. We have all walks of life out there. So when you're grown up, you have fun with people because you're not offended. Your ego's not like, oh my God, I just got told something that isn't making me a member of society. Society's a big, there's a lot of society. I don't want to belong to the closed-minded group, so I already know if somebody's like, oh, you're, and usually, you know, the nice thing about cowards, right? Because see, it's easy for people to judge, and they're always going to be a coward because they're going to talk behind your back. They're going to go gossip to their friends about you. And so that's what a teenager does. It's because of the whole gossiping thing. When they don't agree with something, they won't tell you to your face because they're literally casting a stone. So anyways, they're not any meaningfulness to a person who likes differences. That's what a grown-up does. We don't cast stones because it's kind of silly, a lot of silliness actually. And so gossip, we all can be considered gossipers. We all can be considered people who make fun of each other. But you'll notice the ones who are having fun because we laugh at ourselves. We laugh at the, again, statements. There's none of that ego sensitive. That's why it's nice to be a grown up. And when you're oversoul and you are friends and you just keep moving into this expansion of consciousness, it's not ever gonna minimize the love that you have. No, you love more. And when you get the opportunity to love again, you're gonna say, yep. And so the story that I'll end with is one of my friends, as we were talking about this thing, I asked him his advice because he's one of those friends that there's a specific handful of my friends that I ask advice, and he got asked something in a moment where I'm like, how can I tell XYZDEFG? And he said, I've seen you, you're smart. You think or you say you can't figure this stuff out. I know you can. And so he made a valid point, but I said, yes, but you know I can't always notice all. And he said, no, it's a bullshit lie. And I'm like, okay. So I'm now listening to what he's saying, and then he says something along the lines of, don't you just, you know, want to experience after everything da, 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 that you've been through, don't you want to have certain experiences? And I respond in a way that he laughs at because he's like, I totally thought you were going to give me a different answer. And it was something along the lines of that I would have been completely disappointed and or disillusioned maybe. So something along the lines of losing complete hope and any person or people in general being able to actually commit and be loving. I said, no, I am having even more fun than I've ever had before, you know. And so he's like, okay, good. So you're not actually disappointed. I'm like, no, people are people. If they can't get over their own insecurities and their own shit, of course they're gonna keep on disappointing and doing what they do. This is the part about trust breaks. The individuals who like to say they choose love, but they're out there telling each other, I only give you 80% of my trust. They didn't choose love. They chose a story, which is everybody's going to break my trust. I know it. And I'm going to be disappointed. And yeah, no, that's called an expectation. It's not free love. You're not loving anyone. You're just choosing that you want something secure, which you're not going to get that way. Go to an app, make a list, and then there you go. Go to therapy with the person, you're gonna have security. No, that's not romantic. Well, you know, romance doesn't have actually anything to do with it. Because if you wanna wing it, then you're gonna have to wait till you find the emotionally available, secure attachment human being, which again, teenagers, they become people who grow up, they lied to me, up, they did this, up, they did that. So you got teenagers who become grown-ups who keep on tracking each other like that. And then you got the ones who instead we have no trust breaks. And so when we do say, I love you, we mean it. And we don't bring our past and say, it's going to repeat itself. And no, we share the past and we say, hey, this is what happened. Here's my life. What's your life like? And you actually don't think of sharing that. And it means that you're going to stay together. No, this is the part. You choose to take a risk, you choose to take a leap, you choose to start saying, here's who I am from the heart, for real, not pretend. And that's the only way you're going to build anything. And if 3 months down the line or 6 months down the line or 1 year down the line, a person changes their mind, actually it takes 2 years, two full years of people open-heartedly to build this secure attachment. And that's why it's beautiful to build, one, secure connections, because it's through your connections that you build genuine relationships and intimacy. That also because you get to know each other. However, let me just share, you don't get disappointed when you're a person who's grounded in reality, meaning 3 months, 6 months, 1 year. I'm not going to be like, oh my gosh, that person ruined it for me. No, this is actually common sense. We've gotten to know enough about each other. They're not interested. Doesn't matter if I like it or not. I will be able to process and move beyond it and not close my heart. So the grown-ups, we don't have trust breaks. When it comes to romance, we stay conscious lovers. The people who have trust breaks, they're not conscious lovers. They're the human suffering love group who will continue to talk about what we see out there. The pain makes you love, and there's divine timing for this and divine timing for that. And you know, that's not the case. Time shows you if people love you in a way of wanting to be in your life. Time is exactly what will have people grow closer. And if they grow distant, then that means they're not interested in being in your life that way. That's because they have more interesting things to do, which if you're a person who has healthy self-worth, secure attachment, whole three-year-old heart, you're leading your 0-1-year-old, you're going to have compersion here. My polyamory group, you know this already. They have other partners. It's good for them. You're happy for them. Monoamory, you still have compersion. You just isn't necessarily the same as for us, because for us, we can share our partners. It's not a big deal. There's only one of you. Nobody can replicate you. The part about compersion is that you're not jealous or envious. It's because you know how to love yourself first. So there's no self-worth in the in-between. There's no self-esteem. You're not, oh my gosh, they left me. I'm not worthy. They're not worthy. You don't do the teenage shit. Mean girls is what it sounds like. Anytime a person talks about their twin flame and making the wrong choices, at a certain point, you accept. So when you pick up on your oversoul, the reason I began to move them all away is because these people choose human suffering, not the twin flames alone. Oh no, you better bet soulmates, a bunch of people, every ascension energy. After like 3 years or whatever amount of time, I'm like, okay, you all are really like mosquitoes hitting the fucking wall again, again, again. I was so quote unquote frustrated with the stubbornness, because it's like head banging against the wall. And I had already seen this from teenage land. So I was not experiencing anything different. The difference was that I had now clairs. And I literally could perceive the people that were going through this. And I'm thinking, you consider yourself smart. Where's your smarts? There's no smarts. When people are in structural dissociation, though, and they're ruminating, they're not online, and they're not smart. And yet again, they want to use words that they like the teenagers. I'm a grown-up. If you're a grown-up, then you're going to notice yourself, and you would notice the wheel that you're doing. You're not noticing that you're not growing more loving as you age. Oh, that's right. Human suffering love narrative people. So it's very straightforward when a person has a wheel of a merry-go-round, which is their karma, and disengages from actually using their smarts, but wants to use the word smart. Smart here means stable, mature, adaptive, rational, teachable. You're only going to be smart if you're able to know how to use the mind with inner growth, because you're saying, okay, I am exploring my emotions and my thoughts, not the inner critic, not the outer critic, and not suppression. I have life. It's happening. I have two hands. I have two feet. I have emotions because I'm human. I don't need to be doing the scar thing. I'm not a teenager anymore. And it's okay. Things take place. We keep on processing it like grown-ups do. And that's why. So once I began just moving that energy to the side, it was easy. And in fact, now, whenever those of my oversoul are still in their own little pattern, I don't even pick it up almost. A little bit, yes, because some of them, you know, on those ascension energy days, they get really, really into it. But, you know, they're so used to just staying in it that it's not something I actually, again, pay too much attention to. You know when people are moving because they'll be interacting with you. And you know when people are doing the same thing because they will literally be doing the same thing. And it's a pattern is what it's called. So once a person accepts their pattern and they accept that that's their life, you're going to know that they're going to stagnate in that energy and move into a specific arena. And like I share, it's not good or bad. We're not here, like Sadhguru says, to affect states of consciousness. and a 5D mystic enlightenment. So Idri person will know this intuitively even without any of Sadhguru or the attachment trauma information. But with Sadhguru and the attachment trauma information, what I can share is people grow up to integration of the brain, secure attachment, if they choose to take a look at their adaptive child, their teenager. And then if they take serious attachment and trauma and childhood trauma therapy and all that good stuff that is out there, once they've realized, I got a shame cycle going on. My self-soothing mechanisms not helping me to get better. Let me go check these good people out. They're going to help me get better because you're an embodied brain like I am. So we'll be back with more. Again, be kind, compassionate, loving. And if you have any questions, let me know. We have paid subscription-based model content for specific guidance and then free FAQs for your curiosity questions about mystic stuff, personal development, attachment, any of that good stuff we talk about. Have a great day.